If there are any, I don't want to use the word regrets. I'm not even sure what the right word would be. If there are any, man, I wish that would have happened. It would have been to have Leah's husband minister. Hallelujah. If you've never heard Tim minister, you need to go to daveroberson.org and go through every single year and find every single time that Tim has ministered. Download those services and listen. I've never met anybody like Tim. Never, never. When he speaks, you just sit there and listen, and you think, how come I never thought of that? You know, come on, God, tell me some of these things too. But he honestly is one of the individuals who has had, what's the right way to say this, the most profound impact on my life and my ministry. I have notes from sermons way back, well, going all the way back to March 1997, listening to what he taught and the notes and so forth. And it's just, anyway, no, he didn't tell me to say this. I'm passing this on to you because I know that all the others who will be speaking today and have spoken this week would say the same thing. Tim operates at a level of wisdom that's incredible. Praise God. Thank God for Tim Stemple. Thank God. Each one of the speakers who have ministered this week will be sharing with you, and I'll use the word briefly, but that's a relative term. And I really do not want to be lengthy because I want to hear what they say. When I come here to these conferences, I'm not coming here for the purpose of ministering. I'm coming here to receive. You know, I minister all year long in my church. I come here to receive, and I do receive. And I give God the glory for it. I would like you to open to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to do an extremely brief recap of what I taught, extremely brief, and kind of add just a little bit to it as encouragement. Share with you very briefly what I received during this conference. And then I'm going to share something with you that the Lord spoke to me during one of the services. And it was after I had ministered, and I really hadn't thought much about the opportunity to share it. But this opportunity has come up, so I'm going to share this to you, something the Lord spoke to me. But very briefly, we learned in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, and you don't have to turn to this, you can just stay there in Philippians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, we found out that if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. That literally means a new creation. That means you are something that never existed before. And the something that never existed before is not your flesh, obviously, but it is your spirit, your born-again spirit. All things have become new. The old things have passed away. So from God's perspective, everything about who we were as a lost person has been removed. Now, if it's been removed, that means God no longer holds us accountable for what it was or what it did. That means as a new person, we have a new beginning, if you will. To use a computer term, we have been rebooted. Hallelujah. And then in verse 18, it says that all things are of God. So all of the new things that we are, what we became when we were born again, it came directly from God and no other place. No other church, religion, denomination, it all came from God. And in another place in Scripture, it talks about how that our new man, our new nature, our born-again spirit has been created out of righteousness and true holiness. God's righteousness and God's true holiness. So that which is in us, that which is us, that which is the very essence and reality of our existence as a born-again individual, it is made up of righteousness and true holiness. That it's like God reached inside himself and took those ingredients and formed that new born again person on the inside of us. That's who we are. And that's why we have the potential to live totally free from sin. We have the ability, the potential to conquer every temptation, conquer everything that is associated with the flesh. Then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we found out that we have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, is the word of God. And this means that our born-again spirit and God's word, the Bible, they are compatible. The life of who we are in Christ and the life, your Bible is a written form of God's life. So the life in me is compatible with what is written here in the word. There is nothing that separates us from this life. And what's interesting is that when I read the Bible, I'm sowing it into my mind, because my mind is the first place it begins to enter in, whether it's through my eyes as I'm reading it or through my ears as I'm hearing it, it's coming in that way. However, my spirit, there's now an open channel directly from my mind to my spirit. And so my spirit is able to feed on that life that is being put in me. One of the things that I have to avoid is thinking that, well, I don't understand this passage, or I'm not sure, you know, why God put all these, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and, you know, 20 cubits by 80 cubits, and all, you know, I don't understand all of this and why, but it doesn't matter, because that's still God's life. So as I'm putting it in me, I'm still putting God's life in me. And I'm building up a storehouse of information in me, of living information in me, that my spirit is able to use in a functional manner to produce everything that God wants me to be. Not just my ministry calling, but conforming to the image of the glory of Jesus Christ. And so therefore, because of that, I need two very critical additions to my life. One is the Holy Spirit, so that I can pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit is, if you will, the giver of Scripture to man. He dictated, man wrote it down. So I need the Holy Spirit to help me. Jesus said so. The Holy Spirit, he's going to, you know, teach you all things, guide you into all truth and so forth. So I need his ministry to help put, to use this imagery, to put all the pieces of Scripture together like a puzzle to create the full image of the message that I'm to receive, that I'm to, and really for the entire body of Christ. He's not going to give different interpretations to different people. So therefore, as I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is putting everything together inside of me, so that I can grow, so that I can develop, so that I can become everything I need to be, and that I can understand Scripture. You know, in 2 Timothy, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for every aspect of our life in Christ, if you will. So that means that all of Scripture is understandable. I can come to the place of grasping it. Now see, right now, that may seem so foreign to me. It's like I read it, I don't have any clue. Well, of course you don't. So what if you took a first grader and you put that first grader into, you know, like an astrophysics class? You know, a college level, you know, taught by a NASA professor, that first grader would have no clue what's going on. However, if you take that first grader through second, third, fourth grade, graduate from high school, go to college, you know what's going to happen? Eventually, that first grader is going to understand what's being taught. You see this? All right, it's the same thing with Scripture. Too many Christians are extremely hard on themselves because they're trying to understand things that their spirit has not been edified to the place of fully comprehending. So therefore, I need the help of the Holy Spirit. He's the best teacher there is. There is no better teacher. I need his help. But along with that, I need the help of a human being teacher. See, God established in the church these ministry gifts. You know, Jesus is the administrator of the ministry gifts. You know, he gave, you know, the apostle, prophet, and so on and so forth. Okay, I need somebody who understands the Word of God, who is, I need a college professor in the natural, if you will. Okay, think about it like this. I needed Dave Roberson to explain to me about the value of praying in tongues, because left to myself, I had not come to the place of figuring that out, even though it's right there in the Word of God. I didn't understand that. And so I needed Dave Roberson to stand up and take me by the hand and walk me step by step through Scripture, 1 Corinthians 14 and Romans chapter 8 and all these others, and explain to me about here's praying in tongues, here's why, here's the result, so on and so forth. And then it's like, oh, I get it. Yeah. And so I start praying in tongues and I get the benefits. I get the results. So I need the ministry of the Holy Spirit through praying in tongues. But then I also need the person, the individual, because God put those people in the body of Christ for a purpose. So we still need them. Now, you can't just have any teacher, though. You can't just have anybody. And I'm not going to go through and give a bunch of names, but in the early years of my recommitted my life to Jesus Christ, got filled with the Holy Spirit, I listened to everybody. Everybody that was Spirit-filled. The people, I thought everybody in our church was way beyond me spiritually. I mean, way beyond me spiritually. So if they mentioned a preacher, it's like, well, I got to get all that guy's tapes. And that was back in the cassette tape days. I got to get that guy's tapes. I got to get his books. I got to get on his mailing list. Got to get his magazines and so forth. And for a season, they helped me. And some of those things they taught are still absolute truth, no matter what you say. They are still absolute truth. But some of the things they said, I had to dismiss. I had to lop those branches off because they weren't producing fruit. It's kind of like, you know what they were producing? They were producing plastic fruit. Have you ever, you ever seen that plastic fruit? It looks so real. But if you try to take a bite, there ain't no way. Well, I had to lop those branches off. Now, over the years, it's gotten to the place to where there are fewer and fewer teachers that I can listen to. And the more you pray in tongues and listen to people who know what they're talking about, the more you're going to start realizing, I can't really listen to this guy anymore. I can't really listen to this woman anymore. I mean, yeah, they all speak some truth, but It's just not there. And some of the preachers that I had really esteemed a long time ago, it's like, thank you for what you did for me in those early days, but nothing personal here. Nothing personal, but I got to move on. I mean, I just can't continue to feed in that restaurant. You know, look, I don't know about you, but once I've been to Cheddar's and had a steak, McDonald's doesn't hold the same appeal anymore. I think you understand what I'm talking about. Now, okay, do this. Here in Philippians chapter 3, look here in verse 13. The Apostle Paul is writing, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Now, using that verse relative to what has been taught this week, I could say, I'm going to forget all the affinity that I had for a lot of those other preachers, even though they helped me for a time. But they took me to a point. They can't take me beyond that. You can't take somebody beyond where you are. So they can't take me beyond this. So I've got to, quote, forget those things which are behind to continue to go forward in the Lord. And the Apostle Paul says in verse 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, he already told us in verse 13 that he does not consider himself to have reached the pinnacle of Christian maturity. You know, I have not apprehended. I mean, I'm not at the top level. So if the Apostle Paul will admit that publicly in writing, and we can still read about it all these years later, then I have to have the same attitude. Okay, I've not reached it yet. No matter how much I do know, there's more to know. There's more to grow. There's more. And he says, I press toward the mark. That phrase, press toward the mark, gives the impression of there's going to be resistance. I'm pressing toward the mark of, let's just say, full maturity in Christ. Okay, I'm pressing toward the mark, but there's going to be resistance. The greatest resistance is the flesh. The greatest resistance is not religion or the devil or anything else. The greatest resistance is going to be the flesh. I don't want to pray. I don't want to worship. I don't want to go to church. Nah, 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 nah. The greatest resistance is going to be the flesh. So, you know, you got to keep pressing. And he says, now look in verse 15. Let us, the body of Christ, those in this conference, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, every one of us who truly want to make this kind of progress and advance to become more spiritually mature, we have to be thus minded. What minded? The same kind of mindset the Apostle Paul had. I haven't reached the pinnacle yet. I'm not there yet, but I keep pressing toward the mark. In other words, I have to have a mindset that says, I am willing to engage my flesh and beat it. I am willing to fight against the flesh that says, but I don't want to pray. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. We have to have that kind of mindset. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. This week, this whole week, God's been revealing a whole lot of things to a lot of us, has he not? He's been revealing a mindset in us that maybe has not been in agreement with this concept. And he says in verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Those of us, the point where we have attained. Now, I'll just use all those who have been speakers this week. You know, Brother Gary and Pastor Bronk, everybody who's been up here. We're up here because we have applied what we were taught. We're not up here because we're somebody's favorites. We're up here because we have applied what we have been taught. And because we've applied it over time, God has transitioned us. You know, Brother Allen, he was firmly entrenched in another ministry, a very, very large ministry, but he became thus minded. You understand what I mean by that? And because of that, and because he kept pressing, God worked in him. Well, now he's here. Now he's here. Some people he's known from his past would tell him he's gone backwards. But he hasn't gone backwards. He's gone forward. And we can see that in him. And so he says, whatever you've been doing to get to this point, now coming from the Apostle Paul, that would include, you know, praying in tongues, you know, the Word of God, the worship, I mean, all of these things, fasting and so forth. He says, whatever you've done to get to this point, he said, keep doing it because it will take you beyond this point to the next level and to the next level and to the next level. Then he says, and this verse 17 is so powerful, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. If we were to apply that verse 17 to here, right now, today, this place, we could say it like this. Be ye followers of Dave Roberson and those who have walked that path with him. Now, this is not ego, and it's not self-esteem or anything like that. It's just, if we hadn't done these things, if Nathan and all of us had not done what we've learned, guys, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be in this building. We wouldn't be in these conferences. We wouldn't be attending these conferences. It's because we've applied what, you know, Pastor Dave blazed the trail, if you will. He cut away the brush. He chased away all the wild animals. I mean, but he's the one that blazed that trail for us. Then he came back. And he got us, and he said, I'm going to show you the path to walk. And he began leading us down this path, which kind of sounds like the born-again trail, doesn't it? He began leading us, and some of us heard this and saw it, and we thought, well, Shazam, I mean, I want this. And so we began doing it. Here it is. I share with you, 20 years ago, Pastor Bronk and I attended our first conference here. Over the years, we have seen so many pastors attend these conferences and seem to be so on fire and seem to just really get a hold of what we call, you know, the message. They just really seem to buy into it, but then over the years, they begin to fall off. You know, I remember one time, one of them, I was talking with him, and he said, well, you know, our church, we're going in a different direction than what they're doing there at the prayer center. And I'm thinking, okay, what is this direction? Because if it's better than this, then for crying out loud, tell me. If it works better than this, tell me, because I need it. Well, I'm still waiting for somebody to show me something better than this message. This message of the, you know, the prayer, praying in tongues, the worship, and so on and so forth. I can't find anything else in Scripture. I haven't heard anything from anybody else. Now, using me as an example, here's what I've done for me. I've focused on those teachers, and I don't care what their ministry calling is. I'm just using that term, teachers. I've focused on those who are walking this path and their messages, their sermons. Giving you one example. I went to Pastor Bronk's website. I went and downloaded every single sermon that he has on his website. And I forget how many years back it goes. Every single one of them. And I've been listening to them. And I've pretty much been listening to all of them in order. And I'm now up to early 2015. Eventually, I will catch up to him, and I will be listening to sermons he hasn't preached. I will go beyond. I will catch up, and I will be current with him. And I've downloaded all of Gary's, and I've downloaded all of Pastor. Do you understand? You see what I'm getting at? I've downloaded these sermons, and I am feasting on what they teach. Because I know their life, I know where they've been, I know what they're living, and I know how that God has brought change in their life. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm listening to them. They feed me. I'm currently doing this. And the reason I'm emphasizing this is because sometimes I get the impression that some folks think that we just are just kind of coasting, or that we're not continually pursuing being taught. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but we do. We listen. I mean, sometimes, you know, we communicate with each other. Hey, I listened to your message such and such, and things like that. Now, the reason I'm saying that is we have not attained. We're not there yet. We're still pressing toward that mark. And, you know, the example for this is not just what the Apostle Paul wrote. But back in those days, why in the world would anybody back in those days, Christians now, want to listen to anybody other than the Apostle Paul or Timothy or Titus? Do you follow the logic here? And yet when you read in the New Testament, you're going to find out some people started listening to other preachers. You can go to Galatians and see that. You can see that in Corinthians. You can see that in 1 John. There were Christians that began listening to other teachers, other preachers. And then in the writings of the Apostle Paul, the writings of the Apostle John. And so they're trying to bring this back in. Then they're telling people, hey, listen, you're getting off track. You're listening to the wrong people. And the Apostle Paul says, you know, be a follower of me. I'm following Christ, be a follower of me, and not just me, but all the other preachers and ministers who are walking this same path. He said, listen to them too. You listen to what they have to say. And I'm encouraging you in this. This is not, see, when we don't sell anything, it's not like we're going to make money if you go and listen to and download and all this other. There's no money to be made. Freely we've received, freely we're giving. And the only thing I can tell you, well, it's not the only thing I can tell you. One thing I'll tell you, if you don't do this, where are you getting your teaching? Who is speaking into your life? Who's doing this? You need this. You absolutely, and here's what I do. When I'm listening, I follow along in Scripture. I pray very, very softly in tongues. And I take notes, either by hand or as I'm sitting at the computer, I type out what the Holy Spirit is ministering to me, what I'm receiving, and so forth. This is what I do. And I'm telling you, it works because you grow as a result. What you're called to be, your ministry calling, it will come forth. You will become more than what you are right now. I will continue to do this, and I will become more than what I am. And what one of the things I received during this conference, what the way I would sum it up is, I need to intensify doing what I know to do. Just, you know, the whole thing of, well, the life in me beats the flesh. Okay, I need to intensify pressing against the flesh. I need to intensify, you know, the prayer and I mean, just the sum total of it. I need to intensify this. Now, here's what the Lord shared with me, and I truly believe this was when Pastor Bronk was speaking. And in fact, I'm like 100% sure of it. If you remember when Pastor Bronk was ministering, he shared about Hurricane Irma and how it came through and the devastation and what happened in their house and how it's the worst hurricane in recorded history. And as I was sitting over here listening to what he said, the Lord began to speak to me. And he said, there is a Hurricane Irma coming in the spirit. In other words, it is going to be an onslaught in the spirit from the enemy. This week, what we've heard, this week, and it was so interesting what Brother Tim was sharing about the instructions for the army. This week, what we have heard have been instructions for greater equipping and preparation for the spiritual Irma that is coming. Because you see, we talk about, well, revival, revival, and praise God for it. But if you think that Satan is not going to try to counter the revival, you're foolish. As the glory of God begins to rise up in cities and in churches and just all around the world, Satan is going to do everything he can to counteract it, you know, coming immediately to steal the word. This week, and I don't know that we all sense it yet. I know I don't fully sense it. We're being held now to a higher level of accountability than ever before. God ministered this week to us. He's told us what we need to do, and now we need to do it to be prepared for this attack. What is this attack going to be? What is Hurricane Irma in the spirit going? I don't know. I know a lot of it's going to have has to do with emotions. The emotions, whatever impacts you emotionally, to quit, to give up, to I ain't going back to any of them conferences. I mean, whatever it would be, an attack on the emotional level to stop us. But it goes beyond that. I don't know what the sum total of it is, but I do know this. It's coming. It's coming. You know, think of it like this. The storm clouds are forming. But here we are in this room. And praise God, we don't have to sit back and wonder, oh, glory, what do we do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We can be prepared and be ready, fully equipped, fully armed, so that when this thing begins to hit, however it hits, we're going to be ready. And there will be no fear in us. There will be no apprehension. We're going to be able to stand in the midst of that storm. And the wind is going to be blowing all around us, if you will. But we will be standing, no matter how intense it becomes. And this is not just for all of us old people. This is every single person in this room, no matter what your age. This truth is not age relevant. It is spirit relevant. And if you're born again, it's relevant to you. Praise God.